For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. On this beautiful spring morning, we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Happy Easter, and welcome to the Voice of Victory broadcast. We would like to invite you to our services this morning on this holy day. At 10:30 a.m., the Victory Baptist Church Choir will perform an Easter musical presentation entitled, Jesus, I Am He. We will now join Pastor Holland in the book of Acts for the first installment of his message entitled, What Are You Looking At?
First chapter in the book of Acts. Understanding what the disciples went through as they followed him upon the earth was quite different than what we go through and what we know. We have the privilege of having an entire copy of the Word of God. God's given us all of the Bible. He said there'd never be any more added to it. There'd not be any of it taken away. And so we have held in our hands, in all the years that I pastored and ministered, we've held the Word of God in our hand. It instructs us and it guides us and teaches us. But now the disciples, after the resurrection, are once again about to be disappointed, even though they did not understand what was going on. And the Lord coming to them, and after being with them for a certain period of time, he was going to come and instruct them. Let me read verse 3 and just make a couple of thoughts before we read the remainder of the scripture. But he said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking to them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 3 days after he died, he had revealed himself to them. He had risen from the dead. And when they saw that, truly, the hope was restored. To think that he was dead, the sorrow that was there, but the joy that came about when he was resurrected. And so now, one minute they're up, and another minute they're down. They do not understand exactly what all is going on. And so the Lord calls his disciples together and begins to instruct them. Why is it that we come to church? We come to church in order that we might be instructed from the Word of God. The only way we're going to understand and know the things we need to know is to hear it. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What we find here is the disciples needed to know what the Lord expected of them. And friend, he did not leave them without instruction. He gave them exactly what they needed. They needed to know what they were doing, what they were going to do, what they needed to do. And the Bible said the Lord taught them. They needed to be comforted. They were amazed and astonished at all the things. Can you imagine the very Jesus that they had followed and they had watched and seen go to the cross and die and go to an empty grave, now resurrect from the dead? They needed comforting. And the Lord sent them comfort and gave them the strength and the help they need. And now we come to a time, not only has he arisen and been with them 40 days after the resurrection, truly they've been encouraged and strengthened by that, but now he's about to go to the place where he leaves earth and goes back to heaven to be with his Father. I'll pick up in verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. I want to pose the question this morning to you. What are you looking at? Now, when you think about God and the things of God, truly, our mind needs to be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ to understand that He's in control of all things. There's nothing can take place that He does not allow to take place, and we as His children must be obedient to Him. We must walk by faith and not by sight. But this morning, I'm afraid a lot of people are looking at other things rather than looking at Him. I submit to you today that many things will draw our attention away and bring us to the place to where we're looking at things that really have no meaning in life. Things that will not produce positive results in our Christian life. And yet here are these disciples. They're confused. They're heartbroken. Here's Jesus. He was arisen from the dead. They thought they had Him back with Him forever. Even though He had told them, they didn't. He had told them, if you remember John 14, other places, He had told them that He was going away, but they had not comprehended it. But now, here He is going, and all they see is Him rising up. And rising up into a cloud, they stare mysteriously, they stare mystically in not knowing what is going on or what has happened, even though they have been told. The first thing I want you to notice about this today in verse number 9 is a compelling departure. I want you to see that this probably was one of the greatest sights that they would ever see or ever experience in their lifetime. I wonder today what it would be, and I'm not comparing or saying that it's going to happen because it won't. But imagine today if I was preaching and all of a sudden I just began to rise up and just go right on through. And let's say after we got outside so you could see me in the clouds and just watch me go, you would be amazed. You'd probably be scared. You'd probably think the rapture come and I was the only one that was saved. But it would be an amazing thing to see. And so here we find the disciples are staring into heaven. Look at verse 9. And when He has spoken these things, while they beheld, He was trying to instruct them and guide them. He was taken up, and a cloud received them out of His sight. Now, I want you to understand, when you think about that, I'm thinking about the clouds in the sky. I don't believe that He was talking about a rain cloud. I don't believe He was talking about the puffy white clouds that we see on a sunny day. I believe the kind of cloud that Jesus went up was a cloud of glory. I believe it was a cloud that exalted Him and put Him in the position that He was. It was the glory of God that was surrounding the presence of God. You know, here we find, as we come to this place in Scripture, we find that here Jesus is going home to the Father. Don't you know the Bible said God so what loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but what? Have everlasting life. God gave His Son to die for you and I. He lived on the earth 33 years. He died. He was buried and He rose again and now He's coming home. And can you imagine the glory of the cloud of the presence of God that was shining around Him as the Lord took Him back up into heaven? And the Father came and lifted Him up, and He set Him down at the right hand of Him in order that He might make intercession for you and I. As we come to verse 10, the Bible said, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, something strange happened. They were gazing into heaven. The Bible said they looked steadfastly. The word is translated, means to fasten the eyes, to look intently on something. It means they were transfixed on Jesus. Have you ever seen something and really not seen it? It's possible that you've got your mind fixed on something that you really don't see something else. These disciples were fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They had zeroed in. They were right there looking at Him and amazed by it, and something strange happened. We know that as they looked, they should not have been amazed. Because I've already mentioned, remember John 14? He called them together and He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And what? I will come again. But He said, I go. But yet here they are, transfixed. They're amazed. They're looking toward heaven. And they don't understand exactly what is taking place or what is transpiring. The transfixed look of the disciples of heaven, I believe they were standing in amazement. It looks like they were looking after Him like men who had worried that they had lost Him forever. I mean, it was bad enough to see him go to the grave, but now to see him descend away from them to be there nevermore. For the disciples, the ascension of the Lord took him back into heaven. It changed everything. The Bible said there was two men that stood by them in white apparel. And we see there, obviously they did not see him because they were fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it was important. Aren't you glad that Jesus went back to heaven? And I believe the disciples, before it was all over, they were excited and glad that he went back to heaven. For you see, everything that Jesus did plays an intimate role in our life as a child of God. But I'm going to tell you, his death was important, but his resurrection was even of great importance because he lives again. And now he's gone back to heaven. And the reason he went back to heaven is in order that he might do some things for us. And I want to give you three reasons quickly today. I've just jotted a few things down. Why Jesus had to go to heaven. If he did not go back to heaven, the Spirit of God could not have come upon our life. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send you a comforter. Now, I'm telling you today, it would be wonderful if Jesus was here. It would be great if he physically was in our building. But you see, Jesus has Christians all over the world. And Jesus, even though I know and we know that he was able to be everywhere now present, yet we find he implanted inside of our hearts the Holy Spirit of God. When Jesus leaves, the Holy Spirit comes and men learn to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm trusting in him this morning to meet my needs. I'm trusting in him this morning to protect me. I'm trusting in him this morning to watch over me and to guide me into all truth. And the way that I have that help and hope is through the Holy Spirit of God that lets me know when I'm doing wrong or when I'm doing right. Second of all, not only did his leaving bring about the Holy Spirit, and as we walk by faith and trust him, we understand if he had not gone back, we would not have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Second of all, had Jesus not went back to heaven, he could not make intercession for you and I. While he ascended back to heaven, he was seated at the right hand of the Father. I don't understand how it all works, but I know that he's in heaven. And I know he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and I know that he's making intercession. You say, what does that mean? It means this. No matter how good we are, no matter how hard we try, every one of us can and will sin upon this earth. And the Bible says, if any man say he's without sin, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. And so we all know today that it's possible that we sin, but when we do sin, we have an advocate in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sin, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what he does, he restores us back to that perfect fellowship with him, even though we miss the mark, even though we fail, even though we sin, he's brought us back to the place to where we are in good standing with him once again. And had he not, and by the way, when we sin, you know what? It's like the lawyer. It's like the lawyer going before the judge and interceding on my behalf because I'm ignorant. I don't know the law. I don't know what I need to say and what I don't need to say. Most lawyers tell their people they're defending, just keep your mouth shut, I'll handle it. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the sin in your life, just pray and ask God to forgive you. Keep your mouth shut. Let God take care of it because he promised the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ would cleanse us from all our sin. But if he hadn't went back to heaven, we'd have no intercessor.
After Christ's resurrection, he returned to his disciples to provide instruction. We too can seek the instruction of a living Savior through the Word of God. It is only through the shed blood of Jesus that our sins are forgiven. He is risen. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard,
Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.